Welcome in to another edition of the Matt Biamonte podcast. I'm joined by Chris Ricard. Chris, give us a little intro on your sports background. I know we work together at Vivint. I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in your fandom. Give me a little history.
Well, first and foremost, I got to say, my fandom is a little eclectic. I grew up in the Southeast, Nashville, Tennessee, to be exact.
You got to get back there.
We go at least once or twice a year. My wife and my two boys, we love going back and hanging out, and it's a lot of fun. So that has influenced a lot of my fandom. Mm-hmm. Tennessee Titans are my team.
Dang.
It's been a rough couple of years, but we had 1999 where we went to the Super Bowl. And
1999? That's 20 years ago.
former Ute great Kevin Dyson was 1 yard short of the touchdown to tie it and give us the opportunity to go to overtime. But that's okay. I don't still struggle with
Let me ask you a quick question. Mariota, is he the guy?
Mariota. Yeah. Oh, jeez. I kind of see Mariota a lot like Dante Exum. As soon as he gets healthy, he's going to be a stud. And he's worth all of the pain and the sorrow. That's how I see it.
Oh, my.
So you'll notice a trend as we start talking about the teams that I like. There's a lot of pain, a lot of sorrow. I like University of Tennessee. For football, basketball, college sports.
I might go to that game. Tennessee, BYU.
I've been waiting for that game my entire life.
Are you serious?
Oh, man. Yeah, yeah. So I also like BYU. And that's kind of a funny one. You know, I have always liked the University of Utah. And
we might need to end this pod short, no, Chris.
Here's the thing. I got to tell you. Okay. So I had a change of heart, a mighty change of heart, if you will.
Wow.
Where I realized that there are a lot of things in my life that are just more in line with BYU.
There we go. Okay? That's what I like to hear.
And it's not all about the swag and the prestige and the winning, right? So I, within the last 2 years, have made the faithful jump over to being a Cougar fan.
Oh, man, that's – faith is the right word because there's not a lot of winning going on there right now. Yeah. So that's a serious jump.
Yeah. So it's been fun though. My wife is a Ute. She graduated from the U.
That's fair.
And so, you know, we're not like rivals in the house because, you know, I'm not a true blue Coug. So
they're you're an adopted Coug.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Nothing wrong with that.
I think most importantly, my most passionate fandom, fan relationship these days has been the Utah Jazz. And I consider myself a unique Jazz fan. I started liking the Jazz towards the end of the D-Will
really?
Era.
So late 2000s.
Absolutely. So I moved to Utah in 2008. And so I never got to experience the excitement of being a Jazz fan when the Jazz were good.
Right.
And so to these days, I'm loving it. It's awesome. And these are my glory days of the Jazz because I didn't experience the Stockton to Malone, the conference finals, the NBA finals. I remember watching those and actually cheering for MJ and the Bulls.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And I think it was because my stepmom, she liked the Jazz and wanted the Jazz to win, and I didn't like my stepmom, so I wanted the Bulls to win, and that was that. But man, ever since moving to Utah, I have caught the fever for the Jazz, and I stood by in the tanking years, and I rooted for the tank, and now, you know, just being able to see the team and where we're going and where we've been is really exciting.
I envy you as a Jazz fan. I never thought I would ever say that as a Lakers fan, that I would envy the Jazz. But in Lakerland, it is just doom and gloom. The stories that come out of LA are disturbing. It's been 6 years. Wait, it's been 7 years now that we haven't been in the playoffs. And we have no semblance of NBA play, in my opinion. We've become the Knicks of the West.
Wow. And here's the thing. My sorrow for you is non-existent, oh, right? Geez. I feel no sympathy as you sit here across from me with
I'm just telling you.
With your Kobe t-shirt.
That was a great day.
and you know, the history of the Lakers is pretty pretty storied. And so you guys are really spoiled. You guys are really spoiled.
Yeah.
Being Lakers fans.
So are Jazz fans though. Just because you haven't won a championship, you got to realize you've been a playoff team for what? Basically 33 or 34 out of 40 years or something.
But the difference between a Jazz fan and a Lakers fan is when the Jazz don't make the playoffs, we're not Warriors fans, right?
Hey, hold up a second. Any team in California is free game.
Hey, look, it's really easy to switch from that purple to that blue. I have
a legitimate reason to root for the Warriors. Two legitimate reasons. Number one, you mentioned family. I have a cousin in Cleveland, the most obnoxious sports Cleveland fan you'll ever. I mean, he'll send me links on Facebook, 10 reasons why you should move to Cleveland. Dude loves Cleveland. And it drove me away from Cleveland. And so when LeBron was in Cleveland and they were winning, I was like, Cleveland can't win. Cleveland can't win. Because I don't want my cousin to give me flack for Cleveland winning.
Valid.
So, and then number two, I married into a Warriors family kind of. So it's twofold.
Hey, and you know, sometimes you got to make those, you got to make those sacrifices, I guess. Obnoxious sports fans rooting against them sometimes is the best thing to do. So that's why I root against the Warriors a lot of times. Because I feel like their fans are pretty obnoxious.
But, fair enough. I don't blame you for rooting against them. I happen to like a couple of them, not all, but I don't fault anyone for hating the Warriors. But you can't really hate Curry and Klay, right?
I'm definitely not on Team Steph, but I will be on Team Klay when he plays for the Utah Jazz next year.
He's not coming to Utah. I'm glad this is a nice segue, but he's not. He's not coming to Utah, and is there anyone out there that you think would be a nice fit? That's realistic, because Klay's not coming, KD's not coming, Kyrie's not coming, and they're not going to LA either for the record.
Listen, here's the thing. Jay and Donovan, they've both been very vocal about saying that they're going to be actively recruiting. I don't think that Jay has very much room. But, I mean, he's been around the league. He's played in Boston. He's played in Cleveland and has played with some all-star caliber players. And he's a relationship builder, and I think that, you know, he'll definitely be somebody who can start the conversations. But Donovan he's a recruiter, and he's someone who I think people see the potential in and will want to play with. People compare him to D. Wade, and you know, I don't know if you remember this or not, but there was this guy named Shaq who left.
There was no recruiting there,
and went and played with D. Wade.
He did play with D. Wade, but there's no recruiting, Chris.
Right,
he got traded.
Imagine, you know what could happen. And so, so here's my realistic. I think that the Jazz. The top five free agents going into this offseason are KD, Klay, Kawhi. This is no particular order.
These
as well.
Are, yeah.
Kemba.
Yes.
Kyrie. Top five free agents.
Yes, I agree with that.
Do I think that we can...
None of those five are a possibility for Utah.
Really? Kemba Walker is not a possibility.
Well, I don't know if Kemba Walker is a possibility for anybody, because I think Charlotte's going to hold on to him.
But does he want Charlotte?
I don't know. Kemba it's interesting for Utah. He is a dynamic scorer, which is you've been lacking at the point guard position. However, is there concern with a small front court if you're a Jazz fan? Because Kemba is small. And Donovan's not small, but he is an undersized shooting guard compared to the average height of a shooting guard. When you think of shooting guard, it's the Klay, the Jimmy Butler role, right?
Yeah.
And so you'd have two guys, what, sub 6'4"? That bother you?
Not really, because
of Rudy Gobert. Here we go.
If they can score, why it doesn't matter, right? Like, yeah. let's get buckets. Totally. I'm still interested to see where this Dante Exum experiment ends.
I've been off the Exum train for years.
I
feel better for it.
I get off the Exum train and I get back on. Like, it's free fare. You don't have to pay to get on the Exum train. You can get on and off. Like, there's the free ride area.
Downtown Salt Lake tracks. The Exum is just the loop of downtown on and off.
It's like, I'll get off here. Oh, there's construction. I don't want to ride. So I don't know. This offseason, I think, is really interesting because there's a lot at stake. There's a lot for Dennis Lindsay to consider. This offseason could impact, and I believe will impact, the next decade of Utah Jazz basketball.
Definitely. I couldn't agree more, because you're in a position where Donovan is borderline free labor in terms of a salary cap. Rudy Gobert is cost controlled. He's probably paid what he's worth, but he's only taking up a fifth of the cap, right? Which, that's not bad, considering this player is making 40. To have Rudy at 20, you're freeing up some money with Rubio off the books, right?
Has that been made official?
What's the situation?
Is this breaking?
No,
is this breaking news that Rubio's off our books?
Well, he's off the books in terms of he's an unrestricted free agent.
Yeah, yeah.
You can certainly bring him back. I think you should bring him back if he's willing to maybe take a lesser role. I think Rubio would be a fabulous backup point guard in like a Dennis Schroeder role.
Yeah.
You just got to upgrade
the
starting spot.
I think it depends on what Rubio is willing to do, right? Because once you become a backup point guard, you're a backup point guard. He's played a decade in the league and has never come off the bench.
Right.
And so I think that, this offseason, this free agency for him, he has a decision to make, right? Where does he want the rest of his career to go? Does he want to go ahead and transition into that second point guard in the depth chart? Or does he want to get paid starter money?
He's got paid, though.
Right, but like, he can get paid again.
What team out there do you think is like, Rubio, that's the guy we want as a starting point guard?
Let's see. What teams make poor decisions?
The Knicks.
Sacramento. The Knicks.
Sacramento is off the list because of Fox.
Right, that's true.
The Lakers are off the list because of Lonzo.
Phoenix is off the list.
Phoenix is on the list unless they draft a point guard. Don't give me this Jimmer for that stuff. Unbelievable. I don't want to get into the Jimmer stuff here, but I am a wholehearted believer, Chris, that Jimmer has never gotten a fair shake in the NBA. Wholehearted, and no one can persuade me otherwise.
Look, I have always been on that train, and
until this year, until he played in four games and only got more than 15 minutes once.
Look, hey, I'm just saying, like, I've been a part of that train, and my belief in the Jimmer has started to really wane. I don't think that he is an NBA player. He was an excellent college player. He's an excellent international player, and the talent gap, I think, is too big for him.
I don't disagree. The only thing is, I just say we don't know. I think a lot of people would have said that about Jeremy Lin when he was bouncing around, and then D'Antoni let him play 30 minutes a game. And specifically where Jimmer has, I don't think, never been given a fair shake, is no one has let him play point. In China, point guard.
Yeah.
In college, point guard. He comes to the NBA, and they run him into the corner like a shooting guard. He's an undersized shooting guard, and he's never been good at that.
Well, and so it's interesting, like, we're talking about Jimmer, we're talking about Rubio, both point guards who haven't kept up with the game,
mm-hmm.
right? Rubio would have been the best point guard in the league
in the
15 years ago.
Totally.
Right?
Yeah.
But today, the point guard, I read an article the other day on SLC Dunk, and they were talking about how the point guard is a position that everybody plays. right?
Yeah.
And it's become a role where you have to be a scorer, not just not the shoot second point guard that that John Stockton was,
right.
that Rubio is, right? He's an assist leader in the league.
Yep.
But you've got to be a scorer these days, and I think that that is that's something that the Jazz need to. And so I don't know where we go with that. You know, the other name that's been floated out there a lot is Tobias Harris.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer if you can get him, I think.
And I love Tobias Harris for
being a volunteer graduate.
Multiple reasons, right? anytime I can get anybody with any Tennessee tie, I'm always excited. It's one of the reasons I loved Damari Carroll so much back in the day. He didn't play for Tennessee, but he played in Nashville at Vanderbilt. And so anytime, you know, I feel like that's part of me. So Tobias Harris, I think, would be awesome. But I think that – and I think that he's realistic. He's a realistic get.
Yes.
I think Danny Green is a possibility.
Is he – would he be much of an upgrade over Kyle Korver at this point, though? They're both older. I just wondered – do you have that guy already on the team with Korver?
Well,
Danny Green's younger, but they kind of do the same thing, don't they? Or is Danny Green a better defender?
That's the question. I don't know.
You guys,
let me just tell you really quickly how I make my decisions. So the listeners of the MBP, the Matt Bamonte podcast, are used to sound logic and data in decision making.
Fair enough.
For me, I'm very emotional, and I look at things like how cool the players are, and when you look at Danny Green's headshot, like, he's definitely an upgrade over Korver.
Oh, like, my check gosh. Out that headshot. I do like that he played 80 games last year, 10 points a game, 3-point shooting percentage was 45%. If you're going to go with the Danny Green route, though, are you committing to Donovan at the one?
Yeah, I think so.
And you're okay with that?
Yeah, Donovan scored more efficiently than he did the entire season.
At the point guard?
At the point guard position.
Yeah, maybe they take a page out of Game of Zones season 2 or season 4 where D'Antoni and Harden are having the meeting of the minds and he turns the point guard.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting. Let me say this about Donovan. He's never going to be an all-star until his efficiency creeps up, right?
I agree. And I know that you're a Locke alum. And David Locke talks a lot about his efficiency, and talks a lot about, you know, the fact that he's in his second year, and you don't see second year players like this, and so I think that the efficiency will get there.
Yep.
He will the growth, as it's been said, is not from year one to year two, but from year two to year three, and so I'm excited to see where he goes in year 3.
Okay. All right, final thoughts. We both got to run. Who do you think the Jazz are going to get? Not wish list, not Kyrie or Clay or whoever. Like, when you really think about what this team needs, what do you think they're going to go out and do?
Man.
It could go so many ways.
The emotion in me, I just have to say that it's going to be hard whoever we let go of.
Really?
And emotionally, right? Because
I think Rubio is basically gone.
He's basically gone, and I think that he's created a great culture. He's been a part of creating the culture on the team, so it's going to be hard to see him go. But I agree with you. I think realistically, man.
Tobias is realistic.
I think Tobias is realistic, but I have this hope and this belief. I'm an optimist, Matt, and
I need to learn from you.
I really believe that that Kemba is realistic for the Jazz.
Kemba. Could you get Kemba and Tobias, or is there not enough money?
I mean, there's always room to make
That's true.
There's always room to get that.
That'd be a nice 1, 2, 3, 4. Kemba, Donovan, Tobias, whoever at the four, and Rudy.
Yeah.
That's a competitive team.
But that means a lot of churn on the team. So I'm interested to see where that goes.
All right, Chris. Thanks for stopping by, my friend. Hey. Next time, let's carve out a little more time.
Let's do it. Let's do it. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Chris. Take care.